The S&D Podcast Channel, the perfect channel for any style of podcast. We have all different pop culture style podcasts for all of your listening needs. If you would like to start a podcast, you can reach us at sndpodcast@gmail.com. We are always looking for new podcasts to add to our channel, and the topic could be anything you want. So contact us now.
Brian Pillman Jr., and you're listening to Jay's Week in Wrestling Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the Jay's Week in Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host. I am Jay, back at you, bringing you all the hits and misses when it comes to professional wrestling, as usual. This is episode number 73, and this is your official AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling, I guess if you want to put Ring of Honor in there, even though they're run by AEW. This is your ROH, NJPW, AEW Forbidden Door preview show. This is the second Forbidden Door that they do. They had one last year, and it was a good show, even though a lot of guys were hurt, and, you know, some guys couldn't participate. But it was still a cool show. One thing about me, I've always enjoyed since I was younger, joint companies joining together, putting on, co-promotional shows, having wrestlers from other organizations go against, you know, probably the main product that's putting the show on. I've gone to a few of these when Ring of Honor was still, like its own thing. They had a good working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. WCW back in the day had a very lengthy relationship with New Japan. And even Vince McMahon and the WWF back in the day, before my time, when I was a gleam in my parents' eye, they had relationships with Japan and you know, Puerto Rico and Mexico, and of course with ECW, they had guys from AAA come in, and that's kind of what boosted the cruiserweight division in WCW as the years went on. But before I get into much into the show, just to throw it out there, this is going to be a short one. This is going to be very condensed, quick, you know, I'd say a good maybe 25-30 minutes, just a quick hit, boom, and then we're out of there. This is literally just I previewing the AEW Forbidden Door show. The next episode 74, I'll get more in depth into what's happening in the whole scope of professional wrestling. We have Money in the Bank coming. I'll obviously get into the end game of Forbidden Door, the results. I'll get into Dark Side of the Ring, came back for their fourth season. They're already about three or four episodes in. I will get into the unfortunate death of two legends. Well, I spoke about Superstar Billy Graham on my last show. So the most recent is the Iron Sheik, which is a big loss, which is, you know, just such a legend. But I'll get into him in my next episode as well. And, you know, just everything else. Impact has done a lot of shows, and they got a big pay-per-view coming up. So, yeah. So with that being said, this is going to be just my predictions of Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door is a couple of hours away. There's a big week for AEW. Forbidden Door, you had your Collision debuted 2 weeks ago. CM Punk is back. Unless everybody's been living under a rock, CM Punk is back on television, and he will be wrestling tonight on the pay-per-view in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament, the Owen Cup. And he's going against another legend in this industry, and I'll get into that when I give my predictions. But not only the pay-per-view, their video game is coming out this Thursday. Finally, we've been hearing about Fight Forever, forever. we've been hearing about AEW Fight Forever, I want to say, since Cody, you know, was still in the company and Punk was still, you know, not in deep water before bouncing back and forth and having his issues or whatever the case. We've been hearing about this video game for a long time, and it's finally coming out. If you pre-order, you get two versions of Matt Hardy. I don't know what, you know, what type of enticement that is for people, but whatever the case, if you grew up in my time when I was growing up, we had, if you had a Nintendo 64, I'd say besides Here Comes the Pain for PlayStation and SmackDown versus Raw and the original SmackDown games, which were fun in itself. You see, I, being a product of a broken home, did come with some advantage in terms of video games for the most part. In my mother's house, I had a PlayStation, and in my father's house, I had a Nintendo 64. So you can bet I had WCW versus NWO World Tour, WCW NWO Revenge, WWF WrestleMania 2000, and WWF No Mercy, which in a lot of people's eyes nowadays look back and say it is probably still to this day the best professional wrestling game ever. The THQ, AKI, the Aki series of games, it's at its apex in terms of graphics and the way they do moves. It was just a awesome game to play, and from time to time I still play it. Here's the thing, as I got older, I found myself getting a Japanese cartridge to put into my Nintendo 64, a converter, if you will, and I'm able to play Japanese wrestling games on there now. Well, Japanese games in general, but I needed, you know, to fill my collection and stuff like that. So I got a bunch of Japanese wrestling games off of eBay throughout the years, and I ended up with Virtual Pro Wrestling, which at the time I didn't realize was the Japanese version of WCW versus NWO World Tour. And then I get my hands on Virtual Pro Wrestling 2, and it is pretty much No Mercy, pretty much before No Mercy came out. And I'll tell you this, it is awesome. It's just great games, and I know once WCW pretty much went down and they went with WWE games, that's when THQ was making SmackDowns, and later on they went on to make the hip-hop fighting games, Def Jam Vendetta, and Def Jam Fight for New York, and good games also, very good games. Those, I heard Def Jam Vendetta was supposed to be, I want to say, what was it supposed to be? It was supposed to be some wrestling game, but they ended up doing a Def Jam. So AEW Fight Forever is supposed to be in the same realm as that. Like they have one of the old producers from Aki, and the THQ is doing it. Yuke's, which is the company that was doing all the 2K WWE games before 2K took over. And Yuke's was the publisher before the last game I think they did was 2K19, which was good. But then the whole 2K20 debacle happened and they got out and all this other stuff, and it was just the worst game ever. But I'm very intrigued, and I'm really happy to have another wrestling game that's not WWE to, you know. And if it plays just like the old games, then, you know, I should have no problem. Because, like I said, even to this day, from time to time, I'll hook up my old Nintendo 64 and I'll play with my son, and he enjoys playing them and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm excited for the new game coming out this Thursday, AEW Fight Forever. Check it out. Play it. You know, why not? So Forbidden Door, 13 matches. This is a long, this is going to be a long show, and I'm pretty sure waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, going to work, I'm going to be really tired, but I think it'll be worth it. I think it's going to be a good show. I don't know. And I say this all the time when I read match cards and give predictions. I'm not sure if this is the order that it's going to be in, but this is how I'm reading it off Wikipedia, so this is what I'm going to go by. Apparently, this is the match, one of the matches that's going to be on the pre-show called Zero Hour, that's going to be on YouTube starting at 7 o'clock first match is going to be in the Owen Hart Cup Tournament women's bracket. First round match, Athena, who is the ROH women's champion, going up against Billy Starks. I think I've seen Billy Starks wrestle maybe twice in my lifetime. I don't know much about her. So with all due respect to her, I'm going to go with the devil I know, which is Athena, who just so happens, like I said, to be the Ring of Honor women's champion. And she's been on a roll, and I think she's going to run through this girl to advance to the next round of the Owen Hart Cup women's bracket. Second match they have listed, United Empire. There's going to be a six-man tag team match. Jeff Cobb, Kyle Fletcher, and TJP going up against Los Ingobernables de Japón. You have Shingo Takagi, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. I'm going to go with Los Ingobernables. I think there's going to be a big night for the LJN. Oh, I'm sorry, L-I-J. I said LJN because that's an old company that made like toys and wrestling toys and very bad wrestling video games. So I'm going to go with L-I-J on that one. Third match they have on the docket is Stu Grayson, who is now with, if you haven't been following Ring of Honor, unless, you know, you have Honor Club or if you're able to see it online somehow, Stu Grayson, who's a integral, you know, preliminary member of the Dark Order and was longtime tag team partner of Evil Uno, is now in this storyline where he's joined up with the Righteous, which is Vincent and Dutch. Now, these are the two guys that were rumored to be a part of Bray Wyatt's Wyatt Six faction that never came to be. And these guys ended up back on Ring of Honor. There was always a big rumor throughout the past year or so, ever since Bray Wyatt came back, that that these guys were going to be part of the Wyatt Six. But, you know, obviously that never happened. And now these guys are back in the Ring of Honor umbrella here. So it's going to be Stu Grayson with the Righteous going up against El Phantasmo. I'm going with Stu Grayson. I think El Phantasmo's good, but I think they're pushing Stu Grayson in this gimmick and this character, and I think he'll get the win here. You have an eight-man tag team match. Now, I'm not sure how much of this it says. Match 1, 2, 3, and 4, P. So I'm assuming the P means preliminary, which means the prelims. So I'm assuming this is all 4 long matches here. I don't know how they're going to make this into an hour long, but we'll see. You have this is the main event of the prelims. You have the Mogul Embassy, which is Swerve Strickland, Toa Leona, Brian Cage, and Bishop Khan, with Prince Nana going up against Chaos of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is consisted of Rocky Romero, the Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta, and El Desperado. I think I'm going to go with the Mogul Embassy. I think Swerve Strickland is in line for a huge push. He had a match on Collision yesterday, against Hiroshi Tanahashi, which is a big match for Swerve. So I think there's a lot of momentum behind Swerve, and I think Swerve is going to in line for a big push. So I'm going to go with the Mogul Embassy on this one. Then the matches that they got after that in the order, I'm not going to go by because those look like main event spots. So I'm going to go down the list. Singles match for the AEW Women's Championship. You got Toni Storm defending the AEW Women's Championship against New Japan Strong's Women's Champion, Willow Nightingale. Now, for those of you who don't know, Willow Nightingale is the New Japan Strong Women's Champion because of an injury. I think it's because of the injury, because if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't think they would have taken the belt off of Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks. I think if she didn't get injured, we would have been seeing a debuting Mercedes Moné on an AEW pay-per-view tonight against Toni Storm, but that's not the case. She got injured against Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale is the New Japan Strong Women's Champion, and now she's going after the AEW Women's title, and I think Toni Storm retains the AEW Women's Championship. With all due respect to Willow Nightingale, she's good. She's a bruiser in that ring. I like the cutesy little character, and then she gets pissed off and goes mad. But that, you know, I'm a big fan of Toni Storm, though. I'm not the biggest fan of Willow Nightingale. She's good, but I'm just that much of more of a fan of Toni Storm. We have a four-way match for the AEW International Championship. Orange Cassidy defending against Zack Sabre Jr., also defending against Katsuyori Shibata, defending against Daniel Garcia. They need to take this belt off of Orange Cassidy. I don't know, every time I speak about this dude, I feel like they've already done as much as they could with him. What more can you do with this guy? I mean, if anyone can give me an idea, he's not a main event guy. So if he already, for me at least, reached his peak as a mid-card champion, what else can you do with him? He needs to lose that belt tonight. And then, like I said, this is just my opinion. I'm sure he has his fans. I'm sure the hands in the pockets, the jeans, the sloth kicks, everything he does, and then he turns it on and it goes off. Enough. I could very easily see this belt going to Daniel Garcia because, I mean, you're not going to give it to Sabre Jr. or Shibata because they're not going to stick around much longer after this. Keep it in-house. Make a great match out of it because Zack Sabre Jr. can go. So obviously Shibata's a legend in this industry, one of the three musketeers from the early 2000s. So I'd say good back and forth match by all four. Put the belt on Daniel Garcia. We have six-man tag team match. Le Suzuki Gods, Sammy Guevara, Chris Jericho, and the King himself, Minoru Suzuki, versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Tatsuya Naito. Woo-wee! That's a good one right there. Now, I could see this one going in probably two different ways. I could see Jericho, Guevara, and Suzuki cheating one out and getting the win, or I could see tension overflowing between Guevara and Jericho, costing them the match, and possibly Naito getting the pin on Sammy, or Sting getting the pin on Jericho, because I think they're pushing toward a Sting-Jericho match down the road. Or if the first thing I said goes down, then we're going to get a Guevara-Jericho match down the road. Either way, but I think that's a pretty decent six-man match. But I'm going to probably give the edge to Sting, Darby, and Naito. we have a 10-man tag team match. Oh, my goodness. It is the Elite, Hangman Page, the Young Bucks, Eddie Kingston, and Tomohiro Ishii going up against the Blackpool Combat Club, consisted of a mix of AEW and New Japan members, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli, newest member, Kanosuke Takeshita, and Shota Umino. That's a tough, that honestly, on paper, it shouldn't be tough. On paper, the Blackpool Combat Club should win this, on paper. However, this is AEW. And we all know the elite run things. You know what I mean? I could very easily see the Elite winning this match. However, this is my opinions and this is my reasoning for wanting whatever. You know what I mean? I'm going with the Blackpool Combat Club. I could very easily see Moxley or Claudio or one of the New Japan guys like Umino getting the win on one of the Jacksons or even on Eddie Kingston. I could see Eddie Kingston taking the pin. It'll be hilarious to see Eddie take the pin to Claudio. Lord knows Eddie hates Claudio Castagnoli and the feeling is mutual. But yeah, I mean, I can't, for the life of me, I can't go with the Elite. I just can't do it. So I'm going to go with the BCC. Then we have a first round matchup in the men's Owen Hart Cup tournament bracket. CM Punk, first match back on pay-per-view against Satoshi Kojima. Wow. What an interesting pick to put in this tournament. Satoshi Kojima, legendary Japanese wrestler from New Japan, used to wrestle for All Japan, former Triple Crown champion, he's done it all. But wow, this must have been a dream match for Punk, because, you know, really? I mean, good for Punk. Good on Punk if he got the match he wanted against the legend that he wanted to fight, you know? I'm a fan of Satoshi Kojima. I like Satoshi Kojima. I remember the first time I saw Satoshi Kojima was in 2002, 2003. He was the MLW champion. Yeah, everyone, for those who don't know, MLW has been around that long. It just took a long hiatus. But back when I first found MLW, it was more like an ECW-style promotion. Joey Styles was commentating. You had a lot of the guys who weren't hired by WWE. I think even Rey Mysterio had one match. If I could swear it was before he got signed by WWE. But you had your CM Punks, you had Ravens, you had Shane Douglas, you had Terry Funk, you had Dusty Rhodes, you had the Extreme Horsemen with Steve Corino and Simon Diamond and Johnny Swinger. You had Sabu, Jerry Lynn. You had and then you had young guys like Christopher Daniels. I want to say Sanjay Dutt, Jimmy Yang. Just off the top of my dome, that's just what I remember watching. You know, MLW. That's what. The first time I saw MLW. So, yeah, it's been around for a long time. And at one point, Satoshi Kojima was the AEW champion. So that's the first time I remember seeing Satoshi Kojima. But longtime tag team partner of Hiroshi Tenzan, longtime tag team champion. Like I said, the guy is just an absolute legend in Japanese wrestling. And it should be a good match. I know a lot of people was hoping for Punk versus Kenta. But, you know, whatever, those be the breaks. So with that being said, we have 1, 2, 4 more matches to get into, and like I said, and this is a wrap. Like I said, this is gonna be a short, quick hit. This is just, you know, predictions, and we out, and we can enjoy the pay per view. Hopefully, you can hear this before the pay per view. If not, you hear it after. See if I'm right or wrong. Big deal. So. This is going to be the first match of the night, according to MJF. MJF is defending the AEW World Championship against another just absolute legend, another Three Musketeer of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the ace himself, Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, obviously, MJF is winning. He's not going to lose the AEW title to Hiroshi Tanahashi. But I think this is going to be a match that solidifies MJF even more. Because, yeah, obviously, he has it on the mic. Obviously, he can win by super heelish, nefarious ways. Can he out-wrestle Hiroshi Tanahashi? That's what we're going to see tonight. Character-wise, we're going to see if they allow. Can MJF beat this man in a wrestling match? Probably not. He's probably going to cheat. Knowing the MJF character, he's probably going to use that Dynamite Diamond ring. He's going to do what he normally does. But I think in the process, Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to make this man work. Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to make this man up his game. And we'll probably see a new, not new, but an upgraded MJF in terms of work rate in the ring. We'll probably see it tonight, you know. So it should be a good match. It's always good to see Hiroshi Tanahashi. Then we have, for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, we got Sanada defending against Jungle Boy Jack Perry with Hook in his corner. I'm all about making new stars. I'm all about giving guys a shot at, you know, to see if they could be a good champion or whatever. I just don't see it with Sonata, man, in terms of IWGP heavyweight champion. I know when he won it, a lot of guys were happy. Oh, finally. Oh, he finally got his, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was getting real sick of seeing Okada with the world title. I was. I'm not going to lie. I was like, all right, enough. We get it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he won again. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like Jay White should have beat him that last time. You know what I mean? Or I felt like Will Ospreay should get that. You know what I mean? Like, Sonata, of all people, Sonata bores me to death. I remember seeing Sonata when he was the Great Muta's protege. And I want to say Wrestle 1. Like, it wasn't 0-1. It was Wrestle 1. It was like a Japanese promotion that Muta created, you know, a good maybe 10, 12 years ago. I'm not sure if it's still around. But they co-promoted with TNA. They did a couple of shows. And Sonata was highly promoted and highly, you know, shown on those shows. Good athlete. He can wrestle. I'm not saying he can't, but he's boring. Like, there's nothing exciting about him. And some may say the same, you know, but Okada, you know, Okada, you go from Okada to him, it's like, okay, all right. I guess, you know, this is what I asked for, right? But maybe he'll turn into a more, maybe he'll do something tonight to change my mind. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's me. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure he and Jack Perry will have a decent little match tonight. It's painfully obvious Jack Perry's not becoming the IWGP heavyweight champion. No way. You know what I mean? But let's see how the match goes. Obviously, I'm saying Sonata's going to win and retain the title. But hopefully they put on a little barn burner of a match, because I know Sonata could work. But when I heard he won the title, it did not move me one bit. I was not, you know, I didn't care at all. You know what I mean? So it was one of the more underwhelming, you know, wins. It was more like a, huh? It was like one of those for me. But, yeah, I'll say Sonata, because, you know, ain't no way Jack Perry's winning that title. Two more matches. Co-main, Kenny Omega, defending the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship against Will Ospreay in the rematch from their match from that they had in, was it the Tokyo Dome? I think it was the Tokyo Dome, where he defeated Will Ospreay for the title. I think Will Ospreay's getting that title back. I don't think, you know, I don't see any real reason in keeping the IWGP US title on Kenny. Will Ospreay's going to go back to Japan. It's not like Will Ospreay's staying out here or whatever the case. However, I do think they're going to have a trilogy type deal. So I think Ospreay wins this one. And somewhere down the road, probably in Japan again, maybe Wrestle Kingdom, they have their trilogy match. And in that match, future booking-wise, if that does happen, I see Ospreay winning that as well. So I think this is going to be a crazy match. I know this is probably the first major pay-per-view match that Ospreay has since his injury. And, you know, hopefully he's legit 100%, and hopefully it goes great and they're safe and everything's cool. But I see Will Ospreay taking that belt back to Japan. That's my deal on that. Main event should be tremendous. I think this is going to be just an amazing match. I could see it. Okada, Kazuchika Okada versus Bryan Danielson. They promoted this as the main event. So there will probably be some interference, maybe. I'm not sure, but we'll see. But this is going to be just, it's one of those to just sit back, relax, and enjoy it, because these guys are going to put on a show, you know? I think Okada's going to win. I would love for Danielson to win, but I see Okada winning with a Rainmaker. I loved the promotion for this fight, for this match, with Danielson in Arizona, somewhere in Arizona, in the desert, in the mountains, you know, talking about how, you know, I'm going to take you to the desert and over here it doesn't rain or some crap like that. It was cool. It was good, a good little build up, good little promotion for the match. And I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great match. Phenomenal. This was a greatly booked card in terms of how they put the card together. I think it's a great, solid card. And it should be a good show. The last year's show was good as well. Oh, wait a minute. Did that get announced? I think they gave Adam Cole a match with Tom Lawler. Wait, hold on one second. Adam Cole... Tom Lawler? Am I? Oh, it got canceled? Oh, it got canceled. Okay. Just hours away from the start of AEW NXT, NJPW Forbidden Door, Tony Khan has announced a change to the card. Due to an illness, Adam Cole isn't clear tonight. Therefore, the Adam Cole versus Filthy Tom Lawler match has been canceled. Despite the change, tonight will be an amazing show, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So Adam Cole was supposed to go against Filthy Tom Lawler, but apparently Adam Cole is dealing with some sort of illness, so that's not happening. So, yeah, and that just came back to me. Like, it just hit me. I remembered them announcing Adam Cole having a match, and then I remembered who it was against. That would have been very interesting. But that means Tom Lawler is available. They should give Tom Lawler a match. Maybe against Timothy Thatcher. That'd be crazy. Or or maybe whoever. We'll see. There'll probably be an open challenge by somebody and Tom Lawler will take it. I don't know. But that would have been cool to see. Maybe we'll see it down the road. So, yeah, that's the show. That's Forbidden Door. Those are the matches. Those are my predictions. This was episode 73 of the Jay's Week in Wrestling podcast. I'll be back next week with episode 74. Once again, this was a quick hit. This was a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And I'll be back next week with episode 74 to get into everything I spoke of earlier, Dark Side of the Ring, the Iron Sheik, Money in the Bank, and all the results from Forbidden Door and everything else in the world of professional wrestling that pops up from now to then. So with that being said, this is episode 73. Thank you, everybody, for listening. S&D Podcast Channel, johnnypodcaster.com. Thank you guys very much for listening. Catch you next time. See you later. Peace.